grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one. We praise your power, majestic three in one, one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
amen.
One God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Have you heard this word Trinity before?
Yeah,
I feel like it's a fancy word.
It's a fancy word for three. Trinidad is, yeah, exactly, Trinity. So what do we mean when we say Trinity? What do you think
something.
It means? Something.
Like a tricycle. Just like tricycle, except for the Y.
Yeah, exactly. Like a tricycle, but with a Y. Okay, we could work with that. What about a tricycle makes it stand up?
I don't know. You can ride with two.
You can ride with two. But what happens when you don't have a stand for your bike and you only have two wheels?
Then it's going to fall over.
It's going to fall over. So what's the three?
It makes it stable so you don't have to have a stand.
That's right, you don't have to have a stand.
You have to put like a thing to make it stable.
That's right, because otherwise it's
going to.
That's right.
Like the wheels, and then there's one wheel up here, and there's stuff connected.
That's right, and by connecting them, what happens? It stands up on its own, right? It's complete, and it allows you to keep going. That's kind of how we think of the Trinity as God, right? We can get into how three and one and all those things like that, all those complicated things that centuries upon centuries have taken to get there, and we still don't understand it. But the one thing that we realize is that that three makes it complete. What would happen if you didn't have Jesus? If you didn't have one part of the Trinity, what would happen? It could fall down.
Jesus would be like the one in the least.
Yeah.
One of the two other ones behind it.
Well, that's the one we know, absolutely. I mean, think about it. You're on the tricycle. What's the wheel you see when you're riding it?
The one in front.
That could be just like Jesus. We see him most clearly, don't we? Because we have the Bible. That's exactly right. Yeah, Jesus is the boss of the whole world. I like that. I like that.
He's in charge of everything.
He's in charge if
the sun explodes.
Well, what if... Think about it this way. Is the Father in charge of everything too?
Yeah, he's in charge of the Son.
Okay, and is the Spirit in charge of everything too?
Yes.
So they're all necessary, right? Because they're all the same sort of thing.
They're all like the same person.
Yeah, they're all the same person. You guys get this? Jeez, we took so many centuries upon centuries to figure this out, and you guys get it. You don't have all the weird stuff to filter out when you're listening to it. So you can make more sense of things. I like kids more than I like adults, I'll tell you that. And I'm one. Well, you want to be an adult? Absolutely. Because
no,
it's fun.
No, I like talking to adults.
That's
like
true.
I'm talking to you right now. And you're an adult.
Well, I feel very special then. I agree. Please play with me. Lord, we give thanks that you give us so much strength in being the ways that you are in our world, that you give us strength and understanding of who you are through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through your Spirit, and through your being as our Father. Grant, O Lord, that we remember this and we treat everybody as these completed ways, and we reflect on your goodness in our life through these three. Through Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.
Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are your mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them?
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please. Let's start with a little James Joyce this morning. It was very big to think about everything and everywhere. Only God could do that. He tried to think what a big thought that must be. But he could only think of God. God was God's name just as his name was Stephen. Dieu was the French for God, and that was God's name too. And whenever anyone prayed to God and said Dieu, then God knew at once that it was a French person that was praying. But though there were different names for God in all the different languages of the world, and God understood what all people who prayed said in their different languages, still God remained always the same, and God's real name was God. That, if you don't know it, is James Joyce, from James Joyce's Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man. The story follows a boy, Stephen, who, as he thinks about life, what life is all about, and he's formed by school and the ideas and all the things that are going on. And the real triumph is him when he comes to the realization that he loves art and that he finds himself within those ideas, within those formations, and finds his personhood. Reportedly, the story is about Joyce himself. And I love this quote. I love it. It speaks to me from the very idea that God is so much bigger than we imagine. I remember the vision of God in Isaiah, if you remember that too, that God's robe filled the temple. The enormity of God that cannot be contained even there. The world is much bigger than the small one each of us occupies each day, isn't it? So much bigger. And these words of Joyce signal to us the task we sometimes try to take up, which is to understand who God is, and the realization that how we call God for ourselves matters. What was the last thing you called God? What is a nice thing? Maybe you stopped and wondered aloud that you needed guidance, and you called God teacher. Maybe you stopped to give thanks on a hike or a walk and you said, author of all things. I love that one. Maybe you prayed Gott or good or Dio or Dios. Maybe you prayed with your Jewish friends who said Hashem, the name. And of all the names we have for God, they're all personal, aren't they? They're all personal. They're things that strike us. Even the word God can be personal, can't it? No matter what you call God, though, healer of our every ill, comforter, spirit, sustainer, creator, redeemer, or Lord, what we call God signals to us just who God is in our lives and how God is working in this world. God is God for each of us. As he moves through our lives, God changes. We see all the different aspects of God, don't we? One day I may need to call on the Comforter to give me ears to hear and eyes to see all the ways that God loves me. In other days, it might be simply, Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. A little different, right? And like the many ways in which an actor can take multiple roles and yet still be the same person, God's roles in our lives are many. And yet, there is so much more that is still just the one, an actor behind them all. Take our gospel for today. Jesus talks about the Father, himself, and the Spirit. And yet, I think you know the one behind them all. Let's set the scene. Jesus has much more to say to the disciples, but they cannot bear it now. Which could give us the idea that the disciples are under pressure. Even the community John had in mind when writing the gospel were persecuted or under pressure. We could think that. And on the other hand, this is the part of the story when Jesus is preparing for the next part of the play. The crucifixion, the trial, the suffering. He's saying goodbye. He is speaking to comfort them, though. That he is not leaving them. Not really. I won't be totally gone. Something like me will be sent in my place. If I was there with them, though, I would want to say, but it won't be you. But I don't think that would be understanding, would it? There is another meaning to the way Jesus says, bear, though. Bear can also mean ascertain, hold, understand, carry. You get it. But that changes. That changes the whole entire meaning. Think about it this way then. There is so much more Jesus has to say, but it won't make sense until later. You cannot understand it now. You cannot bear it now. The disciples will understand after the cross and resurrection, though. You know me as Jesus, but I am God. And the Spirit the Father and I send, also God. And the Father, also God. He didn't leave them, not really. He also doesn't hire a babysitter or leave a placeholder, does he? God isn't going away. Jesus is God. The Father is God. And the Spirit is God, and an important fact, and that's very important, to understand where Jesus is going, why he has to say goodbye. It matters to the ways in which Jesus dies. As John writes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gives himself for us. Just as God came down to be with us. Jesus has already told them before this how he is related to the Father. If you remember, I and the Father are one. He's already said that. And he tells them that the Spirit that God will send when Jesus is not with them, he tells them about this, right? It too is part and parcel to the enormity of the entire character of God in this world. Here again from our gospel for today. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Jesus doesn't leave them. The words that Jesus spoke to them will continue to be said. Because it is not Jesus the man whose words are written down, but Jesus the Son, God, whose words are carried to us. When we understand that the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit are all God, we are immediately open to all the ways God dwells in our world. The Spirit of God that went over the waters of creation, the Word that was with God from the beginning, and the Spirit that stays with us are all interconnected. They're all God. The Father who sends Jesus in the Spirit is the God behind the Christ who lives in the Spirit that remains. And is also the same Spirit that breathed life into the clay, the Father that spoke creation into being, and the Son that dwelled with us in history and breathed life into the new creation. We know this as the Trinity, don't we? The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I was saying earlier, centuries upon centuries of people have tried to explain it completely. Patrick tried to. St. Patrick of Ireland tried to, and we got the shamrock out of that, so that was a pretty good image. But still, doesn't come as close as we could to understanding the whole of God, does it? All Tertullian says from the 3rd century was simply as 3 in 1, 1 in 3. And people chanted that at the time. Think about chanting that now. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And you'd think how we describe it wouldn't matter. It might not matter to God. God is too big to be contained by our words, isn't he? But what does matter for us in the Trinity is that it signals for us that God is complete. And although not all the time do we understand how God is working in our world, how would any of us understand the gospel or who God is without the Father who loves and cares for us? How would we understand who God is without the story of Jesus, the lengths God would go to show us that care? How can we know God is God unless the Spirit declared it to us? We know God is God by these characteristics. And we can ascribe the names we have for God, knowing that all of our attributes and characteristics of God we focus on are all parts of the same God. If you didn't know already, today is Trinity Sunday. This is the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and it begins what is called the time after Pentecost. But it used to be called the Season of Trinity. That was a while back, though. Whatever the title, the point is the same. This time carries us from the Pentecost all the way to Christ the King Sunday, and then we start the cycle over again. And you could say, who cares? Just a name for a season. What's in a name? A rose by any other name? No. The names are important. Just as the names we use for God signal to us how we believe God is in the world and how we mark the ways God has revealed themselves for us through that three in one, how we mark this time of Trinity matters. Think about it. We've celebrated and awaited God's coming into the world in Advent. We've seen and celebrated God's coming in Jesus and the birth of Christ. We have followed the star. We have wandered through Lent. We've mourned and grieved the death of Jesus on the cross. We've celebrated the resurrection, and finally, we've arrived at Pentecost. How we mark this time as Trinity, or how we mark this time as Pentecost, is to reflect and experience the work of God in our world as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Complete. We're at the end of the seasons, when we are allowed time to reflect on how God's story becomes the story we carry in the church. When we're allowed time to reflect on the gift of the Trinity as a revelation of God's being. We are gifted with this time to evaluate the ways we see God working in our world. God is revealed in Trinity. It gives us the ability to call God by so many names in every language. It allows us to be open to their work in the many ways that they are God. The good news is that God works in many ways, and even in the ways that are revealed in each of our small lives, God comes to us as we need, with different names, different faces. Not all the time that can we understand, but in ways that impart to us that peace of knowing God is with us and among us. And God lives and reigns, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.